great courage you showed there, Annie. That was very brave. You know, that's the, I think that's the hardest ministry. I wish I could sing a solo on my own. I wish I was like, you know, I could play the piano and sing like in Elton John's heyday. Great, you know. Great courage, especially when Mike came in and nearly ruined the song for you. And you just smiled, and you've got a good ministry. That's a very good start. So it's a very promising ministry for this church. That's great. Okay, right. Now, why? Why is it so difficult to witness to other people? We've got people in our family we love, friends, neighbours, workmates. It's so difficult to witness and share. Why won't they believe? Why won't they just simply believe and give their lives to the Lord? It's so hard. What are we up against here? The answer may be in this, well, it is in this scripture. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 to 6. No need to turn. Here it is. Okay? I'm going to go through it verse by verse. Okay? The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. That's what we're up against. So that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Can you hear me, Cyril?
You can hear me.
It's not very loud. Shall I say here?
No, it's not very good. Should you tell me?
Oh, all right. Is it whistling? Switch. Oh, hey, where are you? I'm on. Thank you, Cyril. Okay. So, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. The God of this age. That's the devil. That's what we're up against. He's the unseen power of all unbelief. He's the unseen power of all that is ungodly. That's what we're up against. Paul writes, it says this, the age, they're talking about the age he was in. This is the same age that we're in. That's from creation to about now, right now. We're in that same age. And it's in this age that the devil has marred and defiled this period. In Galatians 1, it's written that it's referred this age to the present evil age. And this is in contrast to the future age of Christ. That's when he comes again, and we're remembering that from communion, when he comes again to eternity. And that age will not be defiled, will be purged of all that defiles and mars that period. There will be no evil, there will be no sin. The devil will be no more. Amen? Amen. And only those who are made perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ may enter in. But what about the unbelievers? The unbelievers who have been blinded. They cannot see the light of the gospel. They cannot see that Jesus is the image of God, like we are in the image of God too. We share that with Jesus. Cyril, would you like to show this image? Got planned. Sorry, it's Monty. Sorry, Monty, well done, thank you. Right, Janet, can you switch the lights off just for a moment? Okay, now, don't stare at it yet, but I'm going to ask you to listen to me very carefully. We're going to stare at this image for 30 seconds. Not yet. Not yet. Look at me in the eyes. Look at me in the eyes. Not around the eyes. Look at me in the eyes. We're going to stare at this image for about 30 seconds. Then I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to center your vision. With the eyes shut, in the center there'll be a circle of light. You need to concentrate. And you blink with your eyes shut. And it takes about 3, 4, 5 seconds for this image to work. So will you listen to me very carefully? Okay, right. Now start looking and concentrate on these four spots there. Okay, for 30 seconds, concentrate. Absorb the light, absorb the image. Keep looking at those four spots. Just about halfway with the 15 seconds. Just absorb the light. Okay. Another 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Now shut your eyes. Concentrate on the center of the vision, that circle of light. Flicker your little eyelids. Okay, can you just keep your eyes shut? You see? Okay, you can open your eyes. Who saw Jesus? Hey? Do you see, someone who looks like Jesus. Okay. But what we've done, we are focused and centered, you know, upon Jesus, haven't we? You see, this is a vague image that people see in this nation. Many people don't know the Lord. They've got a vague image of Jesus. They know that Jesus was born at Christmas. He died in Easter. That's Easter. There's some churches. I'll go to funerals and weddings. They've just got a vague idea of what Jesus is all about. They've never centered their lives. They never focused on Jesus and seen him in his real beauty. What can we do? We'll come to that later. But image is very important. You can switch the lights back on now because I can't see anybody, Janet. I need to see them eye to eye. I want to see that you're very smart this morning. Ah, there you are. You're looking good. You're a beautiful church. Okay? Image is very important. Now, if we advertise, we've got our idea, Cyril, for the Gnosis Ball. We'll advertise next week's service. Come to the most beautiful church in England. The congregation, not the building. Okay. Come to the most beautiful church. I reckon there'll be quite a lot of single people here next week if we advertise that. Wouldn't they? Image is important. And I want to test you now with three questions how important image is to you. And I want you to raise a little guilty finger like that if you're guilty. Okay, just like that. Okay, you can do that if you want. Okay, right. Who does this? Photograph. There's about 20 of you on this photograph, and you know you're on it. Who looks for themselves first? All right, what about the next question? You look at the photograph, thinking... my brother looks a bit overweight. My sister looks quite old there, you know. But I look good on it. So that makes the album, isn't it? That makes the album. Or the opposite. You're thinking, Henry looks great. Henry looks really young. Henry's happy and looks young and looks quite slim there, you know. And But you don't look any good, so... That doesn't make the album. It was guilty. You don't have to pull a face as well, Janet. I don't care, Kath. Right. But it is. Physical image is quite important, isn't it? Okay. But it's nothing compared to the spiritual image. Do you portray Jesus in what you do and what you say? Because then you are portraying the image of God, the image of Christ. Very important. You see, unfortunately, our physical images, they age. I'm sorry. To some of you more than others. Okay. we age, don't we? But the spiritual image is ageless. The spiritual image is endless. Our spiritual image should be nestled in Christ, who is the image of God. And our actions and words, every one of them, must portray Jesus. Right, verse 5. Oh, they're not numbered there. Let's have a... For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. This is Paul simply reminding the Corinthians that he wasn't preaching his own word. He was preaching God's word. And it's the same today, that every preacher who's preached here, to where I've been here in the last year, isn't it? Only a year. I really believe it is God's word, and it's the same this morning. Okay, preaching. You know, I find it easier. There's only four times I'm about to do a speech, and I've been asked four times to be a best man for different guys, not the same guy, for different guys. And I find it very hard. It was very, very hard. You know, you start from scratch, and you see, I've got loads of notes here. These are my notes. To me, and I find it easier to preach God's word than doing a best man speech or a speech anywhere else. Very hard. But this is made easy. I'm a copycat. That's what I'm doing. Copycatting and delivering you God's word this morning. So thank God for making it easy for us all. Okay? So, verse 6. Last verse already. Won't be long now, will it? Okay. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Let the light shine out of darkness. You know, Paul wrote that, but God said that at creation, didn't he? And what light are we talking about? In Ephesians 5, it says that you are the light of the world. You. So hold that in mind. Now back to our friends, our family, our neighbours, people we've not met yet, people who don't know God. What about them? Years ago, I was having a shower. That doesn't mean that I've not had a shower for years, does it? But many years ago, I was having another shower after many showers. This particular shower, anyway, I was in the shower, okay, and it was at night time, and I was, you know, soaked all over. I was cleaning all my muscles. Takes a long time, so I've got a lot of them. And then I was there, I was polishing my six-pack, and all of a sudden I slipped, and my foot went down the curtain, and it pulled the curtain down, and there was this pole, which I hope they shower curtain pole. It triggered up and it smashed this spotlight. Now, in the old days, this is about 30 years ago, I had one of those spotlights, you know, and it was a 500 watt, it was the big one. In fact, you stood underneath it and you could feel the heat. And that's why I put it in, because it was like a heat bulb. There's a lot of light just down, but then no more, it was like dark shadows, but it doesn't matter. That was the old days, 500 watts. I mean, what are they now? 4, 5, 6, aren't they, watts? It smashed, and it plunged me into darkness, and there was glass all over the floor. And I was there, and the shower was running. I switched the shower off, and I was all soaked up like this. I'm thinking, well, I've got to get to the locked door, because I locked my family out if I'm having a shower. I've got to get to the locked door in the dark, and... oh, there's glass all over the floor. I think, so I have to unlock the door and open it myself, haven't I? So I just had to take a leap of faith, well, more like a step of faith, because I didn't want to leap anyway. And I just had to get my toe like this and try to find a spot where there's no glass, you know. So I just, made it. Yeah, now one more step. More step of faith. So I just started, and I had to put my foot down, I mean, because I was imbalanced. I just prayed I wouldn't, you know, hit any glass. So I put my second foot down. Oh, Oh, no glass. Who thought I could? I thought I was relieved, and then I could open the door, and then I could unlock the door and opened it up, and all the light shone in, and I could see all the glass all over the floor. I mean, I was a blessed man. I found about the only two spots that were hardly any glass at all. So I was very, I can't say lucky, can I? I was blessed. I was blessed. But that, thanks to that door being opened, it let the light in. We all still live in that bathroom world, that dark world that we're living now. And we, many of us here, we've had that door open, and we've had that, like God's light in, and he's put that light on that path, and we can see that path of life, and he's helped us avoid the obstacles that the devil throws at you. It's avoiding the sin in life. We can, that light has helped us through towards God. He's put light on our path. But there's many people that are still living in that bathroom world, that darkness, and they can't see. Where does that put us? We are the lights of the world. We need to help them open the door. We need to help them open that door. A lot of us have been witnessed to. We've come through Christ because we've been witnessed through from the light of God through a person, haven't we? We've responded to somebody. And I'm going to challenge you all that we need to help these people open the door. Don't let them open it themselves. Some people do. We just sit back and wait for people to come in and they've opened the door. We're in that same dark world, but we've had our paths lit. And we need to get through to that. I got into that hallway of light and I was safe. No glass. And that hallway light represents a future age where there is no obstacles. There is no sin. And we're living in the light of God. We're all going to see that. Do we not want to see and share this? We want people who we know, especially in our family. We start with our families, don't we? And the people we've not even met yet, but workmates and everybody we know, friends, we want to share that, don't we? Right? We want to share what it's like. We want them to see the beauty of God. We want them to focus on God. Do we not want that? Don't we want them to see the new heaven and the new earth to come and the new Jerusalem? We had that Greg Hall come the other week and he spoke about the new Jerusalem. I said to him, they asked me to do the Bible reading. Remember the one I had, it was quite hard to pronounce all the stones. I wanted to say, I said to him, can I tell them how big New Jerusalem is? And he said, no, it's all right, I'll cover it. But he didn't actually. So I'm doing it this morning. The New Jerusalem, that is 12,000 stadia long. That's 12,000 stadiums. That's 1,400 miles, the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is going to be the new holy city. Okay? There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and a new holy city, the New Jerusalem. 1,400 miles long, that wall. And it's as long as it's wide, 1,400 miles that way. I mean, that's bigger than Great Britain, isn't it? Way more bigger. And how high is that wall? 1,400 miles high. 1,400 miles high. And it's the wall is 144 cubits thick. 200 feet thick. That's 200 feet thick. And the foundations have got jade and jasper and amethyst and I can't pronounce the rest. So don't we want our members of the family who are not saved, our friends who are not saved, don't we want them to see that? We will all see that. Do we not want to share that? We've got so much to share, haven't we? So the challenge this morning is help them open that door. We are the lights of the world. And that's a challenge for this year, this week. I just want to close in saying, or basically ending, because that's a very powerful verse. Let the light shine out of darkness. May his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen.